Speakeasy.
Words.
Lingo.
Speakeasy.
Language.
Speakeasy on ABC Radio Perth.
And we not only say good morning to Daniel Midgley, but we also say congratulations.
Thank you very much.
For your award-winning podcast.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Talk the Talk won an award from the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia, Best Talks Show. And there were so many great shows that were nominated. We're very pleased to have gotten the award. It's
A national award, Daniel Midgley.
Well done.
Now I can say Talk the Talk is an award-winning podcast.
Yeah, do it.
Exactly.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
Talk the Talk is an award-winning podcast.
So let's try that again. We now welcome to Speakeasy Daniel Midgley, host of the award-winning podcast, Talk the Talk.
I really like the sound of that.
Excellent.
Yes. We'll have to add that into our little intro for you.
Okay.
Daniel. And,
thanks to RTR
just to make it official.
For hosting us all these years.
Excellent. Speaking of things I like the sound of, and we just heard Lucky Star rattle off a few names there. Here in Australia, we're blessed with some magnificent place names.
Some great place names. I love them. Our producer Damien alerted me to a tweet by Warwick Long. Great place names in Australia in no particular order. The Rock, Iron Knob. I'm going to get these wrong. Boominamuna.
I love Boominamuna.
Great.
Yeah.
That's the longest place name in Victoria.
The more vowels, the better, as far as I'm concerned, Daniel.
I think so, too. Vowels are great. And Upotipotpon. No, I'm getting it wrong. Upotipotpon.
Okay.
No, I'm still getting it wrong. Burpengary, Humpty Doo, and Dunidoo.
Dunny Doo. Yeah,
Dunny-doo.
Which makes it even better.
That's better. Oh, my gosh. So this is one of those where you look at a name and you think, oh, that's a funny name. And then sometimes you feel bad because it's actually the name from an Aboriginal Australian
language.
Sounds funny to us, but doesn't sound funny to them at all. And then you feel bad for making fun of it. So if we knew more about some of these names, we would realize that they have a lot to teach us. And they are, in fact, enduring legacies of the languages of the people of this area. And we should all know something about them. So that's what today is about.
Okay.
Excellent.
And also sometimes sniggering a little bit.
Okay.
Like with Iron Knob.
We'll try to keep the sniggering appropriate.
To a minimum.
Yes. And thanks, Gary, for your text. So send in your suggestions, 0437 922 720, or you can give us a call on 1300 222 720. Gary's been quick off the mark and says Damn Boring is his favourite.
And is it?
So that is D-A-M.
Where's Damn Boring?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to do...
We'll Google it.
Yeah, I'll have
to... But thank you, Gary.
...punch into my trusty search
engine. Early contender.
Could it actually be derived from English? Like,
yeah.
You don't actually bore through a dam, do you?
Maybe it's not a very exciting place.
Yeah, so it is on the map. It's in WA, and there's not just Dam Boring, there's East Dam Boring as well.
Oh, good.
In case the original wasn't, you know,
it's
Dam Boring.
It's near Dalwallinu, apparently. I just had word in my ear from
Alex,
producer extraordinaire.
Who knows stuff.
I do have my file here. There's a file from the government of WA that has, it's called Perth and Surrounds Suburb Names. So I'm going to be consulting that pretty heavily. Doesn't have Dam Boring, though.
Does it say where the names have come from?
Yes.
Okay.
The annoying thing is that sometimes they say something like, it's an Aboriginal word, and that's really stupid because...
Doesn't give you much.
Which of the 200 yes. Aboriginal languages could we be talking about? It's a bit like saying, oh, you know, fromage, that's European for cheese. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or talk us through some of the ones that stood out for you then, Daniel.
Yeah, and talk us through what they teach us too, Daniel.
Well, let's see. What are some of your favourites? I noticed we were just having a bit of a yak off air about Yakandanda.
I love the word Yakandanda.
Why does it speak to you?
I don't know. It's country. It's country Victoria.
You can Aussie it up so much, do you? Yakandanda.
Yakandanda. You can totally Aussie it up, and they do hold the world record for the longest bunting as well. And I just think Yakandanda, that's something to be proud of, people.
But you mean like a strip of cloth?
Yeah.
The bunting.
Yeah.
Wow.
World record.
Wow.
Now you know about Yakandanda.
Well, the name comes from the Dudaroa people of Victoria, and it means, get a load of this, one boulder on top of another at the junction of two creeks.
Brilliant.
No wonder it's so long.
Yeah.
You need a lot of syllables to say something like that. I don't care what language you're talking
about.
Yes. It's their version of two rocks.
Yes, it is. But it's not just two rocks. It's two creeks as well. You got to pack both of those in there. It's
all like of that information to one word.
Four things.
Mm. Do you know, I mean, apart from those that obviously have Indigenous heritage to them,
yes.
I wonder how you come up with some of the suburb names. I mean, I remember when I first arrived in Sydney and I got sent out to cover a story in a suburb called Punchbowl.
Oh.
And I thought, who on earth sits around a table? I'm guessing some sort of planning committee sits around and goes, let's call this suburb Punch Bowl.
There are a lot
What's the
names?
Logic behind that? Seriously.
There are lots of names like that where it just looks like a thing. And so you say, well, that's...
Punch Bowl, though?
That's it. You know, going back to Iron Knob, a knob is just a geographical feature. It's just a rounded hill or a mountain.
Yeah.
There are knobs everywhere.
We have lots of knobs in Australia.
Lots of knobs, and not just Australia. It's. I mean, there's Knob Lick. There are no fewer than four places in the U.S. named that. Three in Kentucky. Kentucky, what's going on with you?
It's called what, sorry?
Called
Knob Lick.
Okay.
Wow. I'm not going to snigger, and I'm just going to leave that one well alone, Daniel.
Wow.
Yeah, and Newcastle has Knobby's Beach, I believe.
Yes.
Yep.
We've got a text that says useless loop.
Once again, a description.
Yes.
What about and Lake Disappointment?
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was that was because of the explorers that went through, wasn't it? God, I can't even remember.
Your WA history?
Yeah. It's too early in the morning. But when they arrived at the lake and it was a bit of a disappointment, I don't know, for survival reasons.
You know,
and there's also nowhere else.
Well,
nowhere
then,
else.
Of course, we've got the, rat's nest.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
rat. On our doorstep as well.
I always try and I always fail to remember the Noongar word for rat nest and call it that instead. Wajumup.
Yes.
Which means place across the water where the spirits are, which I think is appropriate, given that this was a horrible place of imprisonment for
That's
so
right.
many people. So I'm just going to call it Wajumup forever. And if somebody says, well, what's that? Then I don't care if I have to explain, oh, that's rat nest.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that every time.
Good on you.
Thank you.
It's got here, Lake Disappointment was named after by the explorer Frank Hann in 1897. So he was in the area exploring the East Pilbara around the, is it Rudall River? And he noticed the creeks in the area flowed inland and followed them, expecting to find a large freshwater lake.
Must be a lake.
Yeah, but the lake was typically dry and was so named Lake Disappointment.
Just didn't live up to expectations.
No, that's right.
I want to talk about Innaloo.
Yeah.
Yes, we've already had a text that says Innaloo ? So take it away.
Innaloo was one of those that I thought was kind of unusual when I first, because as an American kid, that was one of the first places that I got aware of. And so I sniggered a bit. A friend of mine said, right, you're off my list. You're off my friend list. Anybody that sniggers at Innaloo, that's just so uncreative. But it was originally known by the name Nyukunburu.
Oh.
But people thought, English speakers thought that was too difficult to pronounce or spell, so they looked for a different name in the 1920s. And there was a woman by the name of Daisy Bates. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of Daisy Bates. She was a legendary woman. She was born in Ireland, but she spent her life doing linguistic ethnography among Aboriginal people and groups. And she compiled a huge word list. People looked around on that. And Innaloo was the name of an Aboriginal woman from Dongara. And so that name was approved in 1927. If you would like to take a look at the legacy of this legend of Aboriginal language, she has a website. Well, it's posthumous, of course. It's bates.org.au. You can look at thousands of pages of her notes from the 1900s. Fascinating stuff, at least if you're a linguist like I am.
What a great resource.
I know.
And so that's great. Every time I get the snigger from my kids, I'll be able to say, hey, you know.
That's somebody's
name, dude. It's a beautiful name for, you know, it used to be an Aboriginal woman's name. And that's nice. Thank you. This one says, would you rather live in Upper Swan or Innaloo?
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. Hey, how do you feel about, I want to say Gunu Gunu, but I know that it's Gunu.
Yes.
Gunaganu. I love reduplication. You know, we talked about things like Breed and Hill, which is like Bree and Dawn and Hill, three parts, all of which mean hill. But this is a case of that. And it's really a nice place now. It's been built up. But the term means dung heap. And I don't know how to take this. I'm just going to read this. You tell me what you think. In the context of reference to the laxative qualities of running water over rocks in time of drought.
Yeah.
The laxative qualities, did you say, or relaxing qualities?
I said laxative.
Okay.
I do not really understand how running water over rocks in the time of a drought could affect a laxative quality.
Oh, look, it might be a mental thing if you're a bit backed up.
I'm sure there's a story there that that maybe doesn't need to be told.
Hey, hydration helps.
Yeah.
Humpty-Doo in Northern Territory.
Yes.
Fantastic place.
Okay, but we don't know where the name comes from.
No.
Because it could be, I think the most likely is that it had a name Umdidu, which meant, in an Aboriginal term, still don't know which language, a popular resting place. However, some people think that it comes from army slang Umpty, which was the name for the dash in Morse code. But I'm not sure about that one. I think I'm going for Umdidu. And then it got anglicized to Umdidu.
Home of the boxing croc.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, how could you box a croc? They have such little arms.
I don't know.
No reach.
I think it might be more of a, you know, an MMA croc, I think, maybe.
If biting's involved, then all bets are off.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're on Breakfast, and this is Speakeasy with Daniel Midgley. And I always struggle with this one, and this text says that they struggle with it too. Mm-hmm. Everyone struggles with Manjagurudap Road down in the Mandra area.
Is that one that takes up the entire sign.
Great sign.
On the road down south.
You know what? People are always forwarding me this one, and I never. Yes. I keep meaning to go and take a picture of myself by that, but I never have. Manjagurudap. I've been unable to track down the etymology of this one so far.
Okay.
I'm still looking.
If anyone knows, please send us a text, 0437-922-720. If you can shed any lights on that one, please enlighten us.
A place that has a lot of people in the Instagram world taking photos, and this is just a recent thing, is in New South Wales you have the outback town of Yass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. So Y-A-S-S.
Of course.
Wasn't that featured in a recent episode of Queer Eye?
That's right, where they all went to Yass.
Yes. I am reading here that Manjagurudap means, in Noongar, meeting place of the heart. Isn't that lovely?
Lovely.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Also known as Mandra. I wonder if Mandra is a shortened version of that. But anyway.
When I look up Mandra, what I've got there is, you have to give me a second here.
We'll give you thinking time.
Thank you. Can you play the music?
Mm.
Well, let's see. There's a word in Noongar, manjar, which means trading place.
Okay.
So I'm kind of taking those as separate words.
Okay. Mm. That makes sense.
Do you know there's a place in Queensland just south of Rockhampton called Banana?
Well, that makes sense.
It's beef cattle territory. There's not a banana in sight.
Oh, really? That's Queenslander humour for you.
Is it humour or does it just come from?
I don't know. It's called Banana.
And Daniel Midgley, we've got a text that has given us a bit of trivia on Daisy Bates. It says, "Did you know Daisy Bates was married to Breaker Morant?"
I did not know that.
Yeah.
There you go.
I remember seeing
much
the
to
film
learn.
And I had no
Daisy.
Idea what was going on there.
Mullaloo. We had Inaloo. What about Mullaloo? Any clues on the origins there?
You're going to have to give me a second on this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll give you some thinking music.
However, in the meantime, I can tell you, Mullaloo, you say?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see. One record tells us place of the rat kangaroo.
Oh.
You know, the word rat in there just
yeah, it just things. It lessens it.
Can we think of a better name? Could rat kangaroo be something else?
Isn't it a wallaby?
Miniature it's kangaroo. Those, let's call it a mini, more like a wallaby.
Is it one of those marsupials whose name actually begins with Q?
Quokka?
Not
a
that
kangaroo.
One. No, those are
the quoll.
Do you know my? I'm not taking a stand on which Q animal
okay.
it is. However, I will say that when my 2-year-old daughter saw quokkas, she said meow meow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Classified it as a cat.
We've got Pam who's given us a call. Good morning, Pam.
Hi, Pam. Hi. Manjagurudap is a place, it certainly was a trading place, but the reason it was a trading place was they had plenty of food there, fish, water, meat, just birds, you know, providing the meat. So they had all they needed and they could stay there pretty much indefinitely because there was always a source of food.
Oh,
lovely.
There you go.
I got that from a tourist driver from Club 55.
Fantastic.
He explained all the Aboriginal names and what was happening.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for passing it on to us, Pam.
There you go.
I love how a lot of place names have water in them. I mean, that's as you'd expect, like Burrumbuddock, New South Wales. The word burrum usually refers to water. Not sure where the buttock is coming from. It seems that a lot of people feel like it's from bullock's backbone, but that's maybe legend.
Yes. Mm. The thing I love most about when we use Indigenous, I mean, firstly, there's the meaning side of it, but there's a rhythm to it, the repetition to it. It just sounds good. When you can manage to get your tongue around it and it rolls out of your mouth easily. And I love, like, Wagga Wagga, you know? Why say it once? Say it twice. I mean, that's what they say. It sounds so nice, you say it twice. It
reminds me of Walla Walla, Washington, which is a real place.
Yeah?
Immortalized by Bugs Bunny in Warner Brothers cartoon lore, but still a thing.
We're getting stacks of texts come through. This one reminds us about Misery Beach. Albany Way, named when whaling was a thing, and it was blood-stained and smelly. Ugh. Now it's pristine.
Oh, all of that blubber.
Misery Beach. Maybe it's time for a name change. Cool Your Nobbing was another text that came through. This one says, I've seen a great message on the back of a WA caravan travelling around over east. It read, we're from Mumbleup. Where's that? It's between Noggerup and Yabberup.
That's as it would be.
Of course, it is.
I hear this story that up means water.
Yeah.
And it's actually not quite the case. It just means place of. That's just a suffix that means place. We use it for suffixes.
Can we just ask you very quickly before we wrap things up and get to the news, Daniel? This is from Barb, wondering how apostrophe-free November is going.
Apostrophe-free November has reached its cruising altitude. So I mentioned last week that I was feeling quite weird about it. I'm not feeling weird about it. I'm just slamming down words without regard to anything.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just getting rid of them and let the chips fall where they may. Nobody has said a darn thing even in 2 weeks.
Is that right?
Nobody has said a thing. I did, when I was doing some official writing with my students, like when I was sending back their feedback, I did include a note. You might have noticed that there are no apostrophes in this. That's because we're in no apostrophe November. So, and so that was my explanation. But if you want to follow me on this adventure, no apostrophe November, and get rid of this rather unnecessary mark, follow
it's
me.
It's a wild ride.
Hashtag no apostrophe November.
Daniel Midgley, who
Wow,
are
what
you?
A rebel. I look forward to December 1. What a tough day that's going to be for you. Too.